We teased it at the end of yesterday's show, and the man is back. Mo Murphy is with us here on Locked On Buckeyes. We're diving into the Big Ten Awards. CJ Stroud won a lot of awards throughout the season. How many did he win at the end? Also, the impact. What impact will the Duke win in basketball have for this year's basketball team? And we pinpointed a problem with the defense. What is the problem, if any, with the Buckeye offense? All that and more in this episode of Locked On Buckeyes.
You are Locked On Buckeyes, your daily podcast on the Ohio State Buckeyes. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
What is up, Buckeye fans? Welcome back to an episode of Locked On Buckeyes for the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your host, Jay Stevens, also the host of the Jay Stevens Podcast. It is Thursday, December the 2nd in the year 2021, and the holidays are around the corner, and finding the perfect gift is tricky. Omaha Steaks makes it easy to send friends and family an unforgettable gift guaranteed to be loved. Go to omahasteaks.com and enter college into the search bar to order the perfect gift package. You heard it a little bit ago. We teased it yesterday, and the man is back. Mo Murphy from the Off the Ball Network is with us, talking football a little bit after the worst loss any of us could have ever thought to happen this season. But with a few days after that being there, I know Mo is a little bit better now than he was on Saturday afternoon. Mo Murphy, welcome back to the podcast.
Yeah, bro, it's always great. You know, I am the avid listener. I always love hearing you talk Buckeyes. Always love watching you and Jeff when y'all go live. With y'all playoff reaction. So it's always an honor to be on Locked On Buckeyes and be able to talk about probably my biggest love outside of my, you know, my wife and kids is the Ohio State Buckeyes.
That Buckeye love is strong, man. Anytime somebody tries to compare it to the love that they have for their wife and kids in that grouping, it is amazing. What also is amazing, Mo, is CJ Stroud racked up some more awards at the end of the Big Ten regular season. The numbers are amazing. 280 completions on 395 attempts, 70.9 completion percentage, 3,862 passing yards. Remember, he missed one game, 38 touchdowns and 5 interceptions. Could have been 40 touchdowns, could have been over 4,000 yards if he was not injured earlier in the year and if he did not miss the game earlier as well. CJ Stroud won numerous awards throughout the regular season. At the end of it, he won some more of those too. He is named the Graham George Offensive Player of the Year Award. That is named for Northwestern's Otto Graham in Ohio State's, we all know him, Eddie George. Stroud was also named the Thompson Randall Freshman of the Year. That was named for Minnesota's Darrell Thompson and Indiana's Antoine Randall-Lell. He was also named one more award, the Grease Breeze Quarterback of the Year Award, named for Purdue's Bob Greasy, and Purdue's also Drew Brees. Mo, as I list that off and you hear about the amazing accomplishments that Stroud has at the end of the year, what thoughts go through your mind?
I mean, this is the quarterback that, if I'm not mistaken, we were on here early in the season and kind of panicking. I know I panicked a little bit about CJ Stroud, and it's not that I didn't believe in him, but I'm like, with the production we're getting right now, it's almost like empty calories. Let's see if we could get a different guy. Let's see what the rest looks like. We got to see Kyle McCord, and I was like, okay, let's go back to CJ Stroud. I've seen enough.
Just like that.
Let's fix whatever problems. It's not Stroud. So, I mean, he's played amazing. Let's just be honest. His best game of the year was definitely against Michigan. That show that he put on in a half. That game itself deserves an award for the type of performance he had. But, I mean, CJ Stroud played amazing, and to know that we're going to have, at the very least, one more season of him leading the Buckeyes, I feel comfortable with where we're going in next year. You know, after this rough loss, you know, you got to take, but you start looking into next year, and knowing that I expect CJ Stroud to be the starting quarterback, I feel okay. And then with all those awards, like, they're named after some of the greatest college football players the Big Ten has ever seen, the college football world has ever seen, especially if you talk about quarterbacks. So to win those type of awards, being recognized by, named after some of the greatest quarterbacks we've seen, some of the best players we've seen out the Midwest and just in college football period, that just is a testament to how good CJ Stroud was this year.
I don't think anybody, even Stroud or Ryan Day, could have predicted the season that we had this year, from the early season struggles, just really growing pains, his first time being on the field. consistently in college, to missing the game, having the injury, then missing the game against Akron, and then seeing how he progressed the second half of the year. And he did things, Mo, that I don't think we ever saw Justin Fields do consistently while he was on the field. I am amazed at the growth of Stroud. I'm also amazed at the poise and composure of Stroud. And even in a game against the Wolverines, I'm going to talk about this here on purpose because there would be a lot of quarterbacks that in that moment, due to how things are going in front of you and based off how almost every throw that you're completing, not all of them, but a lot of the throws you're completing, there's somebody in your face or you're getting pressured. I do think that Stroud in that game, we saw the growth. We saw major growth, major strides from him that I don't think we would have expected to see from him if he was pressured like that throughout any portion of the season. For him to get the Offensive Player of the Year, the Quarterback Award, and Freshman of the Year Award, that's amazing. And I'm excited, Mo, for the future next year. This season's not over. I'm excited to see what else he does in the bowl game and also next year. Because Stroud is the quarterback the Buckeyes need, the kind of quarterback the Buckeyes need right now.
Yeah, and he's a little bit different, right? Like, it reminds you of Dwayne Haskins-ish, where, like, typically prior, you know, it's been a while, but, you know, you even had Cardale Jones, but obviously that was kind of JT Barrett's team. But, like, those guys were RPO kings, and they could run the ball. You know, they weren't the greatest throwers of the football. Cardale Jones was, but, you know, carried us to win the national championship. Dwayne Haskins was amazing throwing the football. He was a quarterback. We hadn't seen a quarterback do that at Ohio State, I think, in my lifetime, as far as what he did throwing the ball, because we're used to Braxton Miller, Terrell Pryor, those type of guys where they're athletes on top of being able to throw the ball. So they bring the excitement from both aspects, but being able to just sit in the pocket. And that's what Stroud did. And like you said, the type of season he had, the type of success his offense had, it is a testament to how good it is. And, like, I even had a conversation with one of my friends who he's not an Ohio State fan at all. He's a USC fan. But he pointed out, he was like, bro, from what I've seen this year, I think C.J. Stroud is a better thrower of the football than Justin Fields. He was like, especially you have to take the aspect that he's not dynamic and really just creating and extending plays in the pocket. Everything is, you know, 3-5-step drops. Get the ball out of his hands, accurate passes, you know, kind of have to be on the money because he wouldn't really run too much. He would escape the pocket here and there, but his not having a threat on run, you're able when he drops back to commit to the pass and he still was able to make plays.
What is a holiday memory you have with Omaha Steaks? With the holidays right around the corner, finding the perfect gift can be tricky. Omaha Steaks makes it easy to send friends and family an unforgettable gift guaranteed to be loved. Go to omahasteaks.com and enter college into the search bar to order the perfect gift package. For $99.99, you'll get 24 entrees like the world-famous bacon-wrapped filet mignons, chicken breasts, sides, desserts, and so much more. When you use code COLLEGE, you'll also get an additional 8 Omaha Steaks burgers free with your order. We've all heard the reports about shortages and shipping delays, so don't wait. Order the perfect gift package today at omahasteaks.com and you'll get 8 free burgers when entering the code COLLEGE. Achieving gifting greatness with Omaha Steaks. Incredible flavor, incredible value, and 100% guaranteed. omahasteaks.com, keyword COLLEGE. You mentioned the one thing about him extending plays and how he's not really the threat to run the ball. I don't think it's ever been a negative mark for him. A lot of people, especially nowadays, you got a quarterback that moves around a little bit behind the line of scrimmage. Oh, go ahead, get them 10 to 15 yards. That's not his mindset, and I think it's a luxury for him to not have that mindset because I think you remember the throw. I think it was in the second or third quarter. He threw the ball. It was the one that Jackson Smith and Jigba caught on the defender's back, which I thought was a pass interference. But Stroud at that point, and there was even points throughout the Michigan game where Stroud could have ran the ball, but he's moving around laterally behind the line of scrimmage to extend the play with his arm because I think he knew it was a bigger thing to do that at that time to slow down the defense of the Wolverines and other defenses throughout the season because if he ran the ball, great. But if he does things behind the line of scrimmage, it's going to mess up the minds of linebackers and DBs because they're used to quarterbacks getting that close and then running. He's getting that close and still trying to move the ball down the field with his arm. That's a luxury. I think it's what Ryan Day preaches in practice, and it's amazing that he has a quarterback, Mo, in Stroud that does that throughout every single game.
Yeah, I do, but I think the most dynamic Ohio State offenses. I mean, Dwayne Haskins did have a pretty heck of a year. I will say that. But like the Braxton Millers and Terrell Pryors.
Yeah.
And because like we know it's just been in, especially since getting Urban Meyer, especially we run the RPO, the run pass option. But what makes it dangerous is because it's a triple threat, because it's run or pass or quarterback run. Yes. And that makes the difference. And so when you're running it and you go to fake that handoff, if you don't give it to the running back, the defense can fully commit to the pass game. And so I think sometimes it did hurt the Ohio State offense because a defensive end could commit to stopping the running back on a run pass option every time. Why? Yeah. Because the quarterback was never a threat. Usually, as a defensive end or reading a defensive end, you're taught if they play out, you give it to the running back and he goes up the middle. If they play down and they play the running back, you keep it and you run to the outside and make something happen. With his unwillingness, I won't say inability because he had flashes of being able to do that, but with his unwillingness to, and he even said, like, if I was supposed to run, I'd be a running back. Like, so it's kind of unwillingness to be able to do that took away a certain dynamic from an Ohio State offense that we're so used to seeing with Justin Fields. With Justin Fields, he had it all. He's an amazing throw of the football. He could run the ball. He could do it all. So I think his unwillingness to do that took away keeping the defense honest on certain times. And I think we could have used that this year. I think that could have changed certain outcomes of games just on him making that 10 to 15 yard run and them keeping him honest to where you have a triple threat instead of it's literally just the run pass option between the running back or the quarterback throwing the ball. I think making it a triple threat is all the difference. But I do get what you're saying with him. Mm-hmm. They know that he won't run, so they might play it because they're so used to. But I think the willingness, on if he was willing to run, that would have unlocked the Ohio State offense in a different way. And this probably would have been one of the best offenses we ever seen.
Yeah, and it might be something we'll see next year. Something I think we'll see now or maybe next year in the recruiting trail is the impact of the Ohio State Buckeye basketball team beating the Duke Blue Devils on Tuesday evening. I mentioned it on yesterday's show, Mo. My voice, I think you may have heard it yesterday. My voice, I had a head cold, and I was not there at all. And so I was watching the game, but I ended up having to turn the game. I was like, man, what's going on in my head, the head cold and everything, was not there. But to see the Duke Blue Devils go down to the Buckeyes in Columbus, see the student section, see the fans on the court, storming the court afterwards, that's an immediate impact to this year's basketball team. But also, I don't know if you want to go this route or not. That can help on the recruiting trail as well, because Chris Holtmann is currently trying to build something and put something together in his lab that we're seeing manifested on the basketball court every single day. I mean, every single game. Well, a win like that, you're going to have guys that are on the fence saying, I don't know. Is this Chris Holtmann guy? Can he coach a big man? Well, Zed Key had a phenomenal game. He keeps getting better. Mm-hmm. That's a good way to get more big men, not just tall men that are 7 feet, that are very, very small, maybe 200, 210, but maybe 7 feet, 240, 250. That's a good way to get those guys in that are top, not only top centers, but also want to come to Columbus to make their mark.
Yeah, I mean, it's always those type of games when you're a good program. Ohio State is a good college basketball program. Has, you know, a good, pretty good reputation, Thad Matta. Little bit of success, no national championship or nothing, you know, but little bit of success gets you to the tournament, can compete and win the Big Ten, which at this point, the past 5 years has been what, the best conference in college basketball? It used to be the ACC ran college basketball. I think the Big Ten is kind of taking that over now. But it was a huge win. And what made it better is because anybody that really knows basketball knows that like Ohio State outplayed Duke that whole game. And like recruits are watching that. They outplayed Duke, but the difference was you shot 30% in the first half from the free throw line and you were double digits turnovers in the first half. And you still – so you were out of the game essentially. But because you outplayed them, you got those mistakes together in the second half, and still you only shot 50% for the free throw line overall, but you minimized the turnovers. You adjusted and took away everything that got you out of the game, and it brought you right back in, and you were able to play staggering defense. Like, that was one of the best defensive performances I've seen when you talk about trying to come back as well. And to do that against a team that has Paolo Banchero and all those other guys, all the top five-star recruits, that's a message that you know, and with Purdue being in the Big Ten and Michigan, Juwan Howard, like that's a, hey, this Chris Holtmann guy, you know, to people looking at Ohio State is serious. And you can even tell because our recruiting numbers have gone up. We've been able to at least get more consideration from 4- and 5-star guys. So that a win like that was huge because that sits in recruits the back of their minds when they go to pick schools. Like if they were there, they remember that game. Like they remember, or even if they were watching it on TV, like, man, Ohio State interested, but I remember that. That sits in the back of their mind when they come down to their final four and they have to pick their final one. They remember games like that.
Yes, they do. And I do know Chris Holtmann has been trying. He's done a good job of getting bigger recruits. But we hear about it all the time in football, how football will have, they'll have in 10, 15 recruits come in for a big game, the Penn State game, or I know a local kid from Indiana. He was at the Indiana-Ohio State game, or the whatever other big game that Ohio State hosts or that has the Oregon game earlier in the year. It sucks that I keep thinking about the Oregon and Michigan game being big games. Those are both losses this year. We'll talk about that here in a second. I want to get those that bad taste out of my mouth. But those big games, the football team, we hear about, oh, that recruit. But you said it so well. When you have games like that in the middle of the week, you might be watching that game on TV, not live, not actually live or in the arena where the game's being played. You have the access and ability to be there in that moment at home with your friends, maybe with your parents, and being like, I know Chris Holtmann's recruiting me. I've considered going to Ohio State, never really given that as much thought as maybe I should have. But this performance is seeing the way that Ohio State plays. And I pinpoint big men because a lot of people knock Zed Key. Bro, Zed Key is good. He is a good basketball player. And if I'm 6'8", 6'9", 6'10", and maybe I might be a little heftier than what I should be on the basketball court. Zed Key said he went from 265 to 252, maybe 250, depending on the day. And you're seeing how just that, almost that 15-pound drop in weight has aided him on the basketball court. If you're a guy like that in high school, 6'8", 6'9", 6'10", and maybe you're like, I'm Zed Key in high school, hey, come on down to Columbus because Chris Holtmann, he can get you right.
Yeah, and you know, Jay, I don't want this to be a shot to anybody, but
go ahead. No.
You know what's ruined what you just said is that everybody has to look at how he would be in the NBA instead of just worrying about how he's producing for college basketball. Like, we've had these conversations. You and me both can agree. Like, when we knew JT Barrett wasn't an NFL quarterback, we didn't care. Like, what you're doing for us, lead us to a national championship. I root for you when you leave Ohio State. But, like, if every Ohio State player won a national championship by the time they left and did nothing in the NFL, do you really care? Like, does it matter? Like, does it matter if Marshawn Lattimore wins the Super Bowl? No, it doesn't. Does it matter that Evan Turner ain't won an NBA championship? No, it doesn't. So, but because people want to look at the draft, they always look at how they would look, be at the next level, and they go unappreciative. And then Zed Key dominates in a game like that because he's playing against guys where that size and stuff, it doesn't work in the NBA. And that's okay. Zed Key may only be an overseas guy and never play in the NBA. I don't care. He had a great performance against the number one team in the country, and that's what matters. But those type of guys, the EJ Liddells, who plays absolutely magnificent, now he's jumping on people's boards because everybody's so worried about the big boards and where they have him ranked and who his NBA comparison is, instead of like how he dominates the college game, how he plays absolutely amazing when he steps in and night out on the college floor. Everybody just starts looking into the future instead of appreciating it now. So I think that's what kind of ruins the Zed Keys. We've had a lot of big guys like that. So that's kind of what ruins them is like, yeah, they go on and you know, even look at Jared Solinger who went to the NBA and had a decent career, but we've had a lot of big guys like that, but because their NBA projection isn't so high, they get looked past even when they have really good performances. Yeah, he played really good, but he's not even on my big board. And it's like, so like, it's not, yeah, that's what it's about. But you know, everybody on every Division I team can't make the NBA. We all know this, but he's still playing really well and is a good basketball player for this moment.
BetOnline has you covered all season for more props, odds, and lines than ever before. As football season continues, the march to the playoffs. BetOnline remains your number one spot for all the sports action this season. Head to our new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON, and it's all one word to receive your bonus. From basketball, football, NHL, boxing, and UFC, right to your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. We're here with Mo Murphy from the Off the Ball Network. This is Locked On Buckeyes. I want to thank everyone out there for making Locked On Buckeyes their first listen of every single day. And a new trend, we're going to have some fun with this. I hope everyone that's on Twitter or maybe even social media hops in your Instagram story or on Twitter. When you are listening to Locked On Buckeyes, go ahead, take a picture if you're on, would do it on your phone. Take a screenshot of your phone. Post it. Twitter, tweet at me at jsteven07. Instagram story. Instagram at is the same thing, at jsteven07. I will share those things around so we can have some more fun showing off the podcast we enjoy on a daily basis on your Ohio State football and basketball teams. Basketball, just there. Open the show with football. Want to close the show with football as well. Yesterday with our guy, Jeff Hunt, we talked about and asked what maybe is the problem with the Ohio State defense. Is it a personnel problem, a coaching problem, or a player development problem? With Mo Murphy, also from the Off the Ball Network, the same thing. Mo, the Ohio State offense, there's still another game where they're going to play. We talked about it yesterday, so you're saying there's a chance that's high. There's a long shot for that to be in the playoffs, so let's just act like that's just a bowl game. With where we are right now, Ohio State can fix things on offense before they get on the field once again. We can also assess some things we have seen through the first 12 games about this team and kind of make some good observations and verbalize those on this podcast. So, Mo, from what you have seen this year, is the problem with the Ohio State offense, because it's not perfect, is the problem a personnel problem, just the wrong players, a coaching problem on the field, or is it a player development problem?
I don't want to do this, but it's a coaching problem. It's a coaching problem.
Yes.
To me, you can't say it's a personnel problem when you had the player, the Offensive Player of the Year and C.J. Stroud, all the awards he got, two receivers who are about to go the first round, Jaxon Smith-Njigba, who had an amazing season. You had almost 3,000-yard receivers. You had a good running back room with Master Teague, Mayan Williams, and Travion Henderson, a five-star running back. You had a really good offensive line, at least was supposed to be. Got some draft prospects on there over the next couple of years. So it's not, you had Jeremy Rucker, which goes to the point, it's coaching. And I'm not blaming Ryan Day. I'm just saying it is a coaching problem, because even if you look in the Michigan game, it's snowing. That means that's a type of game of what? It's Midwest football. You win the game in the trenches. We come out trying to throw the ball. Makes no sense. We try and put the game in C.J. Stroud's hands. That's what you want to do. But this Midwest football, it's not all about the quarterback. Look at what Michigan did. Then we started giving Travion Henderson the ball. He started running. He marched us down the field for our first touchdown. Literally marched us down the field for our first touchdown. We stopped giving him the ball. Mayan Williams had a couple big runs. Guess what we did? We stopped giving him the ball. That's coaching. Your players are doing something when you put the ball in their hands. They can't do anything about when you take the ball out of their hands. That's coaching. That's just the Michigan game. Should have been running the ball. Then you look at the Oregon game. We should have kept running the ball. We kept putting in C.J. Stroud's hands. And yeah, like, we could blame the defense should have played better and stepped up. But C.J. Stroud, like, it's not all on him. We should be running the ball. Like, this has always been a dynamic passing game, but a run first team to keep you honest so we could open the field. We wouldn't throw the ball 50 times a game, but we open up the field with that running back, and that's so you know, like, boom, our best receiver's down the field, 50-yard catch, we're in the red zone. That's how our offense was ran. We always ran the run pass option, but it almost is like we took away the option of giving the running back the ball. So now C.J. Stroud was keeping it a lot more often. We talked about he's not a triple threat running the ball, and that's fine. But now we're committing so hard to the pass game, that's not all on the quarterbacks. Like, that's not all on the personnel. The right personnel is out there. Nobody else other than Travion Henderson, Mayan Williams, or Master Teague should have been out there, and they weren't. Nobody else other than Jaxon Smith-Njigba, Garrett Wilson, and Chris Olave should have been out there. And they wasn't, outside of when we put more than three receivers on the field. Nobody else other than C.J. Stroud should have been out there, and they wasn't. So our offensive line was exactly who needed to be out there. Tight end was exactly – so it's not a personnel problem. It's a coaching problem and making the right adjustments. We were throwing the ball too often when we should have been running the ball. It's almost like Ohio State lost its original – as great as the offense was, our coaches went away from its original offensive identity. Travion Henderson was supposed to be baby Dobbins or baby Zeke. Dobbins was baby Zeke, so we're going to call him, you know, Zeke's grandson. But he was supposed to be Zeke's grandson. And we took that opportunity. Look, when we gave him the opportunity, he played absolutely amazing. We took the opportunity out of his hand. So I gotta blame the coaches. It's the coaches, because we can't say player development, because we got multiple first-round picks. We got multiple future first-round picks. So I'm just not ready to go the player development route. I got to go on coaches.
I hate doing this too, because I like the coaches. I like the coaches more on the offensive side of the ball than I do the defensive side of the ball. But I do think it's coaching. Let's look at the list here again. Personnel problem. Do I think – you said it so well. The only thing I would say possibly change is the offensive line. I don't think you should have played four offensive tackles. I like DeJuan Jones. I've watched DeJuan Jones play in high school. I watched him play a lot of basketball. I saw him play more basketball than football. I saw him play one or two football games, and I'm like, Ohio State wants this kid? Literally a thought in my head when I'm watching him play high school football. When I saw him play high school basketball, I'm like, that's a mid-major big man. Now he's going to shave some pounds, but that's a big mid-major big man because he does things down low on the basketball court that I have not seen most guys his size do. I don't think he was the – I think if you put it bluntly, I think he's the fourth best offensive tackle on this team. Not a knock. He's good. I still think he's the fourth best offensive tackle. I think they wanted to go bigger when they should have, I think, put Matt Jones into the starting lineup and then rearrange Mumford and Petit Frere that way. That's the only personnel thing that it is. But the personnel that was on the field was good personnel. Like, those are good players. Even though I want to make changes, those guys were still good. And we saw a lot of success in pass protection and in run blocking this year, even though guys were – some were out of position. So the other one, third one, was player development problem. Once again, by year three, you're supposed to be really, really good if you're going to be on the field at some point. Some guys wait till year four. Player development, I don't think that was a problem when you have a true freshman that comes in and a running back that plays like the way that Travion Henderson did. You're developing something. Now, granted, he does have God-given talent, but you're developing something while he has been there. Stroud, you saw his growth throughout the season, the development. You saw guys in Wilson and Olave that could play in the slot or the outside. No, most college guys can't do that. That's growth. Jeremy Ruckert came in as a pass receiver, passing tight end, pass-catching tight end. He's a really good blocker. That is player development. The one thing I do think is a knock is the coaching. I can go deeper than the play calling because I do believe play calling was a little bit off. I just think that with Ryan Day, and I'm only saying him because he said it in press conferences, I don't know what goes on in the meetings to say that Ryan Day is saying something that is supposed to be Corey Dennis that says it first, the quarterback coach, and then Ryan Day is a mouthpiece. I don't know. Ryan Day, sometimes he's the leader of the team, so he is a spokesman, even though sometimes he's relaying messages from somebody else. Ryan Day has said numerous times, Stroud throwing this much is a problem. But I've heard him say it three or four times. Now, I get it. You're a young head coach, only 3 years as a head coach, 2.5 seasons if you want to be technical based off last year being a COVID year and people played less games. But if you want to be just be realistic, if I hear a coach say four times, Stroud threw this much, that's not a formula for us to win the game. Why do it over and over and over? Now, you have a coach in Kevin Wilson that's been around a few programs, had a lot of success in calling offense. Corey Dennis, a new or a younger tenured coach. Brian Hartline, former NFL player. That position's on lock. I ain't got no problem with that. I don't have no problems with the running backs either. Tony Alford has that on lock. I'm also very glad he's staying in Columbus because Brian Kelly tried to pluck him from Ohio State and go down to LSU. Tony Alford said, no, I am happy in Columbus. This is where I'm going to stay. I do think it's a coaching problem. Unlike the defense, where I think the defense has a lot of coaching things they need to fix, the issues with the coaching on offense, they're fixable very, very quickly. So quickly, Mo, that if Ohio State were playing a game this weekend, the coaches, I think, are smart enough to fix the problems during the week in preparation and even in-game adjustments. So I do think it's a coaching problem, but they're not major, so glaring problems that it's going to take a long time to fix them.
No, I don't think it'll take long at all. I think, you know, especially like you said, I mean, if we're playing it, whatever bowl game we're playing in, I think you'll see it be fixed immediately. I think there'll be a lot of film. I think these coaches will still be looking to put on, you know, a big time show for this bowl game, regardless of personnel that decides to play or not. We know not a playoff game probably is irrelevant to Ohio State and the nation and the players. And so I get all that. We don't know who will play. But like you said, like when you look at coaching and it's even when you brought up like the personnel and where you felt like who should have and shouldn't have been on the field offensive line wise, coaching, like it goes back to coaching, because you see that as an analyst and like coaches just see that they made the decision to have four tackles on that offensive line where you feel like Matt Jones should be there instead of DeJuan. So you essentially you put that on coaching, like, because coaches have to put the right personnel out there. So at the end of the day, like, it could, if it's a personnel problem, then it's always a coaching problem. So at that point, you know, it's going to come down to coaches. And it's fixable. It's easy. It's a fix. We have the personnel to make that fix and be a high-powered offense next year. You look at our recruiting. Yeah, we're losing Wilson and Olave, but we're going to have Fleming another year in. We're going to have Ibuka another year in. We know we have a star in Jackson Smith and Njigba, but we got Trevion Henderson, probably Mayan Williams. Like, we're going to recruit another running back. You know, guys, everybody hasn't even signed yet. I'm hearing we have a shot at Zach Evans. That's a possibility, who we wanted out the gate when he was first committed to Ohio State anyway. Got in some trouble, went to TCU. You know, we have a shot at getting him back. So we get the right personnel. We pretty much put the right personnel on the field. The best players play at Ohio State, at least on the offensive side. There's not a player on the bench that I felt could have did a better job than who was on the field. But you got to coach them right. And there's not a player on the field that I don't think got better throughout the year. Maybe we could dig up the offensive line a little bit. But other than that, when we talk about skill positions, everybody got better, from running backs to quarterbacks to wide receivers. Everybody got better, tight ends and all that. Like you said, went from pass catching to run blocking. You brought up all of their development. So, yeah, it's an emphasis on coaching, but it's so small that it could be fixed. Like, it's not major problems. It's a few minor problems that when they all come up at once, it creates one major problem, but you can fix that in a game. Like, that could be fixed in a week. Like you said, had we able to make all those mistakes to still beat Michigan, like, those get nipped in the bud against Iowa and we come out swinging for the fences, hitting nothing but grand slams on the offensive side of the ball.
Mo, the most annoying thing about this season, the Ohio State football team is not perfect. Even if they were undefeated, you and I and Jeff and the other people that come on the podcast, people that are beat writers for Ohio State, we could talk about and pinpoint issues even if this team was undefeated. The most annoying thing with this team, go back to the Oregon game. I know you talked about this after that game, about how the offense had chances to score down in the fourth quarter, latter part of the game, didn't score at all, 0 points. And against Michigan, Ohio State, at the beginning of that second half, they had chances to keep it close. They didn't. This team could be undefeated with all of the issues that we have been picking apart this week. That's the crazy thing. The personnel on defense, I don't think, is right. Less personnel issues on offense, really not really many at all. But with all the crazy issues and the issues that we can talk about and pick apart very easily, because we pay attention to the things we need to pay attention to, Mo, this team could be undefeated going to the Big Ten Championship, playing in the playoff. That's how crazy this year has been. Ohio State has issues. They're still one of the better teams in college football.
That's what bothers you, is you know how good this Ohio State team is.
Yes, sir.
Everybody else knows how good this Ohio State team is. Everybody else has come out and said how good this Ohio State team is, but it's been the consistency of, if I get the best version of Ohio State, they can play with anybody.
Yeah.
If I don't, I don't know who they can beat. Like, you've seen them struggle with Nebraska. You've seen them lose to Michigan and Oregon. Like you said, we could have four losses. As well as we're undefeated, we could have four losses. So, because of the inconsistency of
– Mo, it could have been five. It could have been Tulsa, too. I didn't tell you about that earlier. They could have lost to Tulsa.
Yeah, we could have lost to Tulsa. Like, we could have, as hard as that is, as hard a pill as that is to swallow, we could have lost to Tulsa. But you know how good that team is, and you almost think, like, people at Rivals in 247, they said something – like a year ago, and I know this is how they look at the Ohio State. They said between the 2021, 2022, and 2023 recruiting classes at Ohio State, from commits and high interest so far, by the time 2023 steps on campus and plays two seasons, Ohio State would have won a national championship. So that goes to show how they value the personnel that we're bringing in. We're recruiting the right way offensively, not defensively, but we can talk about that another day. But so it's just like we could be undefeated. That's what hurts. It's like we are one of the four best teams in the country, but we didn't show it consistently enough to have an argument. And so that's the problem, is like if I could take every team and they play their A-plus game every week consistently, Ohio State is maybe number two. Rightfully so, where they were before Michigan. Michigan doesn't beat them. But guess what? Michigan played their A-plus game and Ohio State didn't. And that's what happens. That's why we love football, because if you don't bring your A game, you could lose. And that's what happened with Ohio State. The better team doesn't always win. It's not always who's better throughout the season. It's who's better that day. And Ohio State ran into that problem twice with Oregon and Michigan, because I think Ohio State is the better team personnel-wise, even coaching-wise. But they didn't show up that day. And so they have to hold those L's and figure out how to bounce back and move forward.
One of the downsides of the podcast is that we have a stopping point. Mo, myself, we could go on for a very long time. He mentioned something about the defensive personnel and recruiting. I wish we had time to talk about that, but let's save that for another day. Mo Murphy, let the good people know where they can catch you on Twitter and also where they can catch all the good stuff going on with your podcast and the Off the Ball Network.
Yeah, you can follow me at Mo_Cheese15, as you see right there. You can check me out. Up and Flames podcast, wherever, Apple, Spotify, you know, you name it. That's where you can listen to it. And then check me out on Dash Radio every Monday at 11 a.m. Eastern. It's Off the Ball Network Monday, starting with myself at 11 a.m., going all the way to like 4 or 5 p.m., 5-6 hours, a straight basketball talk from the network. Always great. Yeah, and then, you know, you can just always check out my content. I always got a lot of stuff going. Sometimes I go missing for a second, but I come back harder than ever. But, you know, it's been tough. Ohio State lost. I haven't been in the mood to be able, you know, to talk sports right now. Everybody understands it. But, you know, Jay, as always, I appreciate you for bringing me on the show.
Yes, sir. And, guys, you can follow me on Twitter at JStevens07. Once again, thank everybody for making Locked On Buckeyes their first listen of every single day. And let's have this trend. We're going to start now. Let's keep it going for a very long time. Tag me in your Instagram story at JStevens07 or on Twitter. Tweet at me. Just tag me in the tweet at JStevens07. Whenever you're listening to the podcast, take a picture. If you want to take a selfie with you and the player that you're listening to at the time, great. If you're in your car, take a picture of your dash. If you're listening on your Spotify or Apple Podcasts, take a screenshot, share it on your Instagram story, share it on Twitter. Let's just let more people know where they should be to get all the information to stay up to date on the Ohio State football and basketball teams. That is Locked On Buckeyes, a part of the Locked On Podcast Network. That's Mo Murphy. I'm Jay Stevens. We're done for the day. This is the last show of the week. Like I mentioned, resting the voice, something I rarely do. We will be back on Monday. We'll know where the Buckeyes are playing the bowl game. We'll also recap this weekend's basketball game as well.